We're now going to turn our attention to a friend in the studio here. He is Jason Kesaw. He is a leadership and talent development manager with Arion in West Des Moines. He is the author of the new book, Focused, Your Future Starts Now. Welcome to the program, Jason.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about the book. Sounds really interesting.
Yeah, the book is really, the intention of the book is to help people, I guess, be more confident throughout their journey and live a higher quality of life.
And what kind of person does it appeal to? Is it young professional, middle-aged probably, somebody who's not necessarily sure, they don't have all the puzzle pieces, but they've got a dream, they've got ambition, and they want to do something in their life that matters?
Yeah, so it was written specifically for, the language in there is more toward young professional, college-age students. It's actually in a number of colleges right now. The feedback I've gotten from, and if you go to Amazon and look at the reviews, that it's really applicable for any age, right?
When you go around speaking to groups, what do they really want to hear?
What do they want to hear? Obviously, something uplifting, motivational. It depends which group we're talking to right now. In June, I'm going to Cedar Falls and I'm speaking to a Consumer Sciences Association, and it's very much about the stuff from the book, like how to connect the dots with the students, some of the things to look for, that I'm trying to use language with the younger people to help them. My whole deal with it is that I think our 20s are our most important years of our lives, right? We're kind of kicked out of the nest, or we jump out of the nest at 18 to early 20s, and we are charged with making some really, really big decisions that if we are not smart about them, will affect us forever, not only emotionally and mentally, but car loans and houses and student loans. And it's hearing the story over and over that when younger people, as they're approaching 30, depending on where they are compared to where they thought they would be, I believe will dictate, will either be momentum going into their 30s or a story that could take them down and hold them back.
I've definitely heard stories, Adrienne, of people reaching their 30th birthday and kind of having a reassessment of
an
where they are.
An aha moment, yes.
Well, I think one of the things that this book can help with is that it gets people to kind of focus who they are, what they want, what their gifts or skills or talents might be. Are you finding that people, the light bulb goes on when people read this book, when people hear you talk about certain things, about their following their dreams, but also having the character, the self-discipline to do what's necessary to reach those goals?
Yeah, absolutely. And this book, and I mean, there's lots of material out there with it. We hope that the light bulb goes off. My experience when I was 23, the light bulb went off, or a 2x4 hit, however you want to look at it. It was kind of my wake up. And instead of them getting to 30 and saying, oh no, like I'm not where I thought I'd be. I thought I'd be here. I thought I'd be married with kids or whatever. What if they start having that conversation at 22, 23, and they're thinking about it differently? And it's the power of this stuff is that it's not prescriptive. It's not saying, here's the top 10 ways to be successful. It's saying, what's important to you? What are you passionate about? How are you going to create your life around your values? Because if we're making decisions based on things that are important to us, it's going to be more meaningful. We're going to be more engaged. We're going to be more resilient. We're going to be more motivated. We're going to be able to receive no's, and we're going to get up quicker when we fall down because we're emotionally invested in something that's really important to us.
Yeah. So you say a community is only as strong as the people who live in it. So what do you think people need to do to be like happy and successful?
I think we need to make confidence a priority. Mm-hmm. And depending on how we've grown up and our experiences, we may perceive confidence differently, right? Some people can be confident and people will think they're arrogant, okay? Some people will be confident and people appreciate it, okay? But I think we have to make it a priority. And from a parenting perspective, we need to make it a priority with our children. The concepts of self-respect, the concepts of respect. So we're very much a culture of sacrifice, right? Give to others, and we have to, because that's mm-hmm. how we all get along. But you can't do it if you're not taking care of yourself. I use this, and it's a widely used analogy in the training world, the airplane analogy. If you haven't heard it before, when you got an airplane and the flight attendant is going through the oxygen mask exercise, what are their instructions?
One of the things you talk about is get along with other people on your work team, whether it's an office environment,
yes,
whether it's a construction crew, whether you're working indoor or outdoor, no matter how large the project or objective is, or how small it is, if you're working on a team, it's important for somebody to be successful to understand not everybody is like you.
Absolutely.
Talk about that a little bit and the different types of personalities that we have to identify and also work with humility and grace and kindness.
Absolutely. I wrote to give some reference, I wrote a 6-part blog for the Business Record, iowabiz.com, and it kind of goes into this, but I compare people to luxury vehicles. Okay, so we have 4 luxury vehicles. Each of the vehicles fueled differently. One takes unleaded, one takes diesel, one's a hybrid, one's electrical. Okay, we typically... And people are like that. People are fueled differently. We typically fuel people with what we're comfortable with. Okay. So with the car analogy, all you know is unleaded fuel, you're trying to put unleaded in the diesel. Well, what happens? Poor performance. It's going to break down. You're going to get rid of it. And that's how we approach people. But we don't take any responsibility when we can't figure people out. They annoy us. They frustrate us. We're uncomfortable. They're whatever it is. So part of it is understanding these 4. It's called social styles. And one's a driving style and an expressive style and an amiable style and analytical style. And the research shows that our observable behavior, how we say and do things, can be described in 1 of 4 ways in those 4 styles. And each of those styles has a different fuel, a different need, a different way of doing things, a different way they react to stress. And if we can start to get in the habit of looking at people objectively, like I challenge people right now, hit reset. Think about the person that annoys you more than anybody, that makes your head spin, hit reset, because by the time we get done working together, you're going to have a plan with how to work with them. Okay? And it's all about understanding, well, what are they doing that makes us uncomfortable and how does it make us feel? Because whether we're comfortable or not with what they do and how it makes us feel will dictate our perception of them, their reputation with us, if we're going to trust them, if we're going to respect them. Now, if we hit reset and I go, oh my gosh, that person that doesn't smile at me, it's not personal. They're less emotional. Mm-hmm. They tend to focus on different things. So how do I meet them where they are to get what I want as well?
One of the hit shows, Adrienne, in recent years has been The Office.
Mm-hmm.
And it's built on the whole idea of personalities within a confined workspace, and they have to deal with one another.
Mm-hmm. And they're also lovable, too. So, it shows you can find something lovable about each of those personalities, which is what you're saying in real life.
Absolutely. And Michael Scott, he is the epitome of, that show, if you work in an HR environment, you're cringing when you watch it. You're just like, oh my gosh. And Michael Scott is the epitome of what we would call an expressive style. Needs a lot of validation and approval. When he gets stressed out, he can blow up and just, I'm an expressive.
And at times he seems like a jerk.
Yeah, he has, we would call him.
I mean, he will rub people the wrong way.
But he thinks he's being funny.
Yeah. He thinks he's being funny.
he thinks he's being funny.
But he's really being annoying.
I think we all know someone like that in our lives.
But just as he's one of them, you have 3 others that give people the similar challenges, maybe just in a different way. And that's kind of the lesson with it. And we do these once a month. We do these success skill mastery workshops out at Arion. And we invite people in and we take them through a 2-hour session where they have this game plan. And I'm telling you, we had one gal that we got an email later on that afternoon. She started crying in her car because she has had so much conflict with one of her employees who has basically told her, you are not emotionally intelligent. Like, she's using the verbiage. And this girl started to question the value she has in the workplace. And she realized, holy smokes, I'm analytical. We are different. And here's what I bring to the table.
You mentioned emotional intelligence, what they call in the business world EQ rather than IQ. Talk about that. How important is it for an organization to have people with a healthy EQ?
Yep. I think today's survival of the fittest is emotional intelligence. Okay? Big, strong survival in the from those that context of evolutionary. Today, it's about how do you manage yourself? How do you work with people? How do you it's awareness of your attitudes, your emotions. It's awareness on how do I react to stress, right? And it's how do I work with other people in that capacity? So emotional intelligence, it's absolutely critical because if you have people that are, let's say, less emotionally intelligent, these are the people that they're not aware of their behavior. They're not aware of the impact they have on situations, which is bad all over the place. One, they don't may not know the value they bring. So there's their confidence and contribution. They may not know how destructive they may be, which leads into whole other issues. So if you have a team, imagine you have a team that all of them have focused on emotional intelligence, right? And they've all hit reset with each other. And they understand what each other needs to be successful. I know the analytical people I work with, I'm going to have a big idea. And I'm going to go to them knowing I'm going to get asked 17 questions about things I didn't think about. Okay? If I am lower in emotional intelligence, I'm going to be ticked off because why are they questioning me? Why don't they trust me? Why don't they believe me? And if they don't understand that I'm a visionary, I'm creative, I come up with the abstract stuff, and maybe I need help drilling it down, they're going to be like, there's no context, there's no detail, how are we going to make it work? But instead, we understand each other's strengths, we come together from an emotionally intelligent. I mean, think about an organization that really understands each other, that doesn't take things personally, mm-hmm. that knows how to fuel each other and keep these going toward the strategic
Fantastic.
Goals.
How can people get the book?
Focusbook.com. You can go to leadingwithstylesl.com for social style stuff. Check out stuff on the Business Record.
Fantastic. Jason Kesar,
thanks for
guest,
coming in.
Leadership and Talent Development Manager with Ariane in West Des Moines. This is Saturday Morning Live. I'm Jamie Johnson with Adrienne Branstead. We'll be right back on News Radio 1040 WHO.